The main issues relating to overcrowding in Aboriginal communities relate to the backlog in demand for houses, the inappropriate design for how people live, and how overcrowding is defined in Aboriginal communities as opposed to by government. That's the view of Paul Memmott, Director of the Aboriginal Environments Research Centre at the University of Queensland. He's lead author of a positioning paper released last week. The new paper focuses on a different way to measure overcrowding. It's an issue of stress, not just density, he says.
What we've argued there is that in the social sciences, the research on crowding suggests that one needs to be stressed to experience crowding, stressed by some aspect of being in a higher density environment. At present, the governments of Australia use a density measure which nominates the number of people per bedroom as a level that creates so-called crowding. The problem with that is that tolerance of higher density of people varies across cultures.
And so one of the main arguments in that paper is that until government departments and services are able to recognise these differing social constructs of what crowding entails, those policies will not be effective. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, in some cases, a government department might put people or a rule that says you can only have a certain number of people in this house. To exceed that number is crowding, and therefore you may be liable for eviction. But in reality, many Aboriginal people have obligations to extended kin, which puts them in violation of their tenancy agreements. A second aspect is to mistake household crowding for neighbourhood crowding.
I asked Paul Memmott about the important cultural factors which are needed when considering housing options for Aboriginal Australians.
Generally speaking, there can be different arrangements with sleeping groups, and then a more culturally specific set of rules might be found in some remote communities like in Arnhem Land, where adult brothers and sisters shouldn't be closely associating in household spaces, and because they have a rule about avoidance behaviours.
There is also disagreement by yourself and the other researchers of this paper and how overcrowding in an Aboriginal household is consistently in the media and within government policy related to the issue of child safety, that reducing crowding increases child safety. Can you explain the flaw here?
Yeah, it's more complex. We've just interviewed a series of large households in Mount Isa, and there are some quite large households that are well managed by their householders who feel quite safe and are not stressed and don't see that they are experiencing crowding. Simply assuming that a high-density household is going to result in child sexual assault is incorrect.
Yvonne Henderson is Commissioner for Equal Opportunity in Western Australia, and she's seen the impact already of a new WA state three strikes and you're out policy. It's evicting families from public housing for minor disturbances, and she says this is targeting Aboriginal Australians.
The kinds of things which we are having complaints about are things such as loud swearing in the street, people who have large numbers of visitors who gather on their front veranda.
And why do you think that this policy will specifically target Aboriginal families?
Well, I don't think that was the intention, but I think that because Aboriginal people are disproportionately represented in public housing and because Aboriginal people traditionally live in larger groups and have a culture that requires them to offer hospitality to people who visit, they do tend to end up being more likely to be evicted under this policy.